witty and ironic. Those are the first two words that come to my mind when I think of P.J. O'Rourke, author of bestsellers like Holidays in Hell and Parliament of Horrors. His latest book is called Eat the Rich, and it's an eye-opening look at wealth around the world. P.J. examines the economic situation in eight countries, ranging from capitalist success on Wall Street to poverty in Tanzania, a place that he says has little money but is fabulously rich in other ways. When P.J. dropped by, I wanted to know why a guy who's been nearly everywhere chose Tanzania as the place of his heart.
I was flying to South Africa back in the early 80s, and we touched down to refuel in Arusha in Tanzania. And as I saw Mount Meru and Kilimanjaro and the hills around them, I just fell in love with the place. But that wasn't why I went there. I was looking for a very, very, very poor country that didn't have a good excuse for itself, that wasn't wildly overpopulated, that didn't lack natural resources, that wasn't in the middle of a war or a civil conflict. I wanted a place that was genuinely poor all on its own. And as I looked at various international statistics, Tanzania kept coming up as one of the 10 poorest countries, and the other nine would be places like Afghanistan. Well, of course they're poor. They've been blowing each other up. And places like Zaire and so on. But Tanzania stood out as a peaceful place that was extremely poor.
And what's life like for the average Tanzanian?
It's tough. There's absolutely no doubt about that. There's a lot of hardship in the country, but it's not squalid. Tanzania is not a starving place. It's not a famine plague place. It's not a place without hope. It is, but it does, you look at this and you go, boy, I'm real glad that we had an industrial revolution, and I live on the other side of the time when industrial revolutions happened.
Did you see the country on your own, or did you have a guide?
I had a guide, but I was alone with the guide. I wasn't on a tour. It was just me and this guy, JJ, who was an absolutely delightful person, spoke about four languages, and was very, very knowledgeable about flora and fauna. Sometimes too knowledgeable. He had information about sex lives of animals I don't think we can say on the radio.
Where did JJ take you?
We went all over the place. We went from Arusha out to the Ngorongoro Crater, which is a mountain the size of Kilimanjaro that collapsed, creating this perfect round crater about 10 miles across and about 1,000 feet deep. At the bottom, with these very steep walls, and at the bottom of which is virtually all of the flora and fauna found in that area of Africa. Even somehow hippopotamuses got down to the bottom, hippopotami, however one pluralizes the hippo, managed to get down there. Elephants are down there, rhinos, everything you can imagine. It's just exquisite. It's like a little train layout of Africa. It's just this kind of hidden world. And we went from there out into the Serengeti, and then we went down to a kind of less spectacular-looking place and less visited called the Tarangire Reserve. And at first glance, it doesn't look like much, but it has the last remaining large elephant herds on Earth, and that's something to see.
I'm talking with P.J. O'Rourke, whose new book is called Eat the Rich, subtitled A Treatise on Economics. He was particularly, in traveling around the world, struck by Tanzania, and we're talking about that place of the heart with him. You describe the people of Tanzania as being physically handsome, striking, in fact. And I guess the most famous tribe is the Maasai tribe. Is everyone in Tanzania equally striking?
Well, no. I mean, it's a very a mixed up sort of bunch of people, a little bit like the U.S. in the remarkable variety. I mean, one of the things that makes Tanzania so peaceful is the fact that the tribalism that elsewhere that has been so difficult for people elsewhere in Africa is modified in Tanzania by the fact that there are just hundreds of different tribes, many of them with names like the Hihi and the Gogo. And I think maybe one of the reasons that there's not a lot of intertribal warfare is that it's very hard to bring yourself to kill somebody because they're a Hihi, let alone a Gogo. But, and also, that normally in Africa, I haven't spent a lot of time in Africa, but I've spent enough time in Africa to know that tribalism tends to come up pretty quickly in a conversation. And that they tend to regard you as belonging to not so much the nation of America as the tribe of Americans. Things were viewed through a tribal lens. That didn't seem to be as true in Tanzania.
What affected you most about the people? Did they stand out from people elsewhere?
They were just really friendly. I mean, I'm a Midwestern American, and there was something about Tanzania that had a little bit of the African Midwest to it. You know, they were everybody was friendly and forthright and glad to see you. And I was poking around in marketplaces in tiny little towns, you know, taking notes on food prices. And, you know, in a lot of places that you would try something like this, France maybe, you know, you would get a fair amount of resentment and you would be regarded as a pest. In Tanzania, I mean, people just couldn't be nicer. They'd drag you around the market. And, you know, if you wanted to know the price of corn and beans, you would also find that for politeness sake, you would have to take down the price of everything else that was in the market, too, because people were insisting on showing you and you had to go to every stall and say hi to everybody. And it wasn't to try and sell you anything. It was just, you know, they didn't see a lot of strangers out there. And what strangers they did see were usually tourists who were only interested in looking at those hippos.
Tell me about the culture. Is this a place of festivals, music, parties, and if so, were you invited?
I did not get to see much of that side of Tanzania because I spent, except for a week in Dar es Salaam, which I was devoted largely to interviewing government figures about.
Ooh, how did that go?
Oh, again, they were incredibly polite. They were incredibly nice. And
I was thinking you spent so much time interviewing Washington government officials. I just wondered about the contrast.
They're nicer in Tanzania. A little disorganized. Apparently, there is a lot of corruption in Tanzania of the kind of thing that means you have to hire all my cousins, you know. So there are lots of people who have jobs. The jobs don't pay too much, and nobody quite knows what they're supposed to be doing. But they were very forthcoming, and they were very honest about their political problems.
You're known for your sense of humor. Did the Tanzanians laugh at the same things as you did?
So far as I can figure, yeah. I mean, you know, those of them that I met, but a very good sense of humor, but there's nothing I could tell you about it that would set it apart from other people's sense of humor. I mean, Tanzania, even though it is a distant country and an exotic country and very different from our country and our experience, is a very normal place. You don't feel out of place there. You don't feel uncomfortable. You don't feel particularly foreign. In fact, you don't really notice it.
Is Tanzania a place you'd ever consider calling home?
Well, I don't know about home. I mean, it's a long way from where I grew up, and you know, I mean, visits back to the family would take a couple of days. But I can imagine it. I could certainly imagine living there. And it's certainly a place that I want to go back to a bunch more. I've got a little daughter now who is not quite a year. But we live next to the zoo in Washington, D.C., and she likes all the critters, and I want her to see them, you know, out on the loose.
Yeah, a lot of critters in the loose in the Serengeti certain months, aren't there?
Everything. If you go in the dry period, and I actually was on a fringe between the dry and the wet period, but fortunately for me, the dry period had lasted. And I say fortunately because the contraction of the water holes and the contraction of the water supply during the dry season causes the animals to cluster together in a really remarkable fashion, whereas when everything gets green and wet, they spread out all over the place, and they're a little harder to find and see. And it was just overpowering, absolutely overpowering.
Any similarities between Dar es Salaam and Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, there's a little bit of street crime in Dar es Salaam and a little bit of sleaze and so on. Although Dar es Salaam, as third world cities go, is really pretty safe. A Swedish fellow who runs a hotel over in Zanzibar told me a story, one of the sort of stories that's sort of heartwarming and sort of disturbing at the same time. He had his pocket picked in Dar es Salaam by a kid, not a small kid, but like a teenager or youth, out of his pocket. And when the people around him down in the marketplace in Dar es Salaam saw this, they chased the thief, caught him and beat him to death, and brought back all the Tanzanian shillings, which had sort of gotten scattered in the midst of the beating, and insisted that this fellow count them and tell them, you know, that they were, all the shillings were there. And I thought, you know, well, that's going a little far, but I understand, you know, the impulse. You know, I think the impulse was correct, if perhaps carried a bit too extreme.
It's the kind of thing Rudy Giuliani could get behind.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
I think. Vijay O'Rourke is author of a new book, Eat the Rich, a treatise on economics. Thanks so much for joining us today, PJ.
You're very welcome.